Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am excited that you're here. I usually record these in the mornings, and right now I'm recording it immediately after lunch. I just scarfed down an amazing salad bag where I like added all this extra stuff to it, but I ate really fast because I wanted to get this episode in before I go record with another guest after this. And I'm also like chugging a Spindrift. So now I feel like I'm burping a lot. So just warning you. Okay, let's get into today's episode, which we're going to talk about intuitive eating and kiddos. And more importantly, I'm going to talk about a specific story that I shared on Instagram about when my daughter, my toddler, asked for a second donut and how I responded in my head versus how I responded out loud. And I think oftentimes as an intuitive eating counselor, registered dietitian, like people just assume that I would have my shit together when parenting a toddler around food. But I work with adults. I am not a kid dietitian, like pediatric, and kids are wild, man. So we're going to talk about it. Okay. So before we do, I want to read very quickly, not very quickly, but I do want to read it. The Fine Food Freedom win of the week. This is a screenshot from D. Thank you so much for writing in. And this is what D wrote. Hi, Sam. I've been listening to your podcast lately, and I have really been loving it. I have been on my own intuitive eating journey now for a bit, but I realized I had a huge win today, and I wanted to share it with somebody who would get it. My hubby and I leave for Cuba in 3 days. My past self, the diet culture self, would normally be so occupied and stressed over some last-ditch effort to shed a few pounds before vacation. For as long as I can remember, that's what I've always done before vacations. But tonight, I noticed that this is different. It wasn't even a thought running through my head. In fact, I enjoyed an amazing, delicious chocolate bar and dinner out with my hubby. I didn't realize until halfway through that this was a huge win. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no obsessive thoughts about whether my body is, air quotes, bikini ready. I truly am just enjoying life. The journey is so worth it. I've honestly never felt this free and happy. Thank you for everything you do, from your podcast to your posts. You help more people than you realize, and I'm grateful for you. Heart emoji. Cue the tears over here. But seriously, thank you, Dee, so much for writing in. And I say this every time I read the Fine Food Freedom win of the week, but this is a person our team has never worked with. Like, they wrote this message in because they listen to the podcast and because they follow along on Instagram and TikTok and our social media platforms. And that brings me an immense amount of joy that the content that we're putting out is helpful. It is received. I say this every time that I read something like this, but as someone who is staring at myself in a computer screen right now as I record this podcast, I forget that there's humans on the other end of this virtual connection sometimes. And your messages mean the world to me and motivate me to keep going on the days where I feel like I'm so fucking sick of listening to my own voice. And I know that might sound crazy, and maybe only people get it that like do what I do for a living. I'm definitely missing the in-person connection. And that's maybe a conversation for another day of figuring out, I feel like we need an in-person event for Fine Food Freedom, whether it's a retreat, whether it's like a live podcast in New York City, like trying to find a major city that we can all go to and we can connect. Like, I need to connect with you in person. I need to know that you are listening and you are here and we can connect. So We'll figure that out. But that's, again, another conversation for another day. So let's get into today's episode. And I will link the post that I'm going to talk about today in the show notes, if just in case you want to click on it for reference. We have not had engagement on a post like this in a very long time, meaning like so many people liked it, shared it, saved it. And I'm like, okay, well, now I need to do more of these if this is so helpful. So I'm going to read it to you. And I, like I said, I'll link it. And then I'm going to break it down a little further. Okay. So it says this: my toddler asked for a second donut after already eating her breakfast and a full donut. Here's my honest reaction response as an intuitive eating counselor and mom who is constantly learning. Okay. So my initial response in my head was, she doesn't need the second donut. As her mother, I know this, so I shouldn't give it to her and redirect her attention elsewhere. I chose to give her the second donut anyways. She took one little nibble, set it aside, and continued to dance and sing in her princess dress. Even if she would have eaten the entire second donut, it would have allowed us the opportunity to talk about how her belly feels from a place of curiosity. I am not saying you always need to say yes to your child, but what if we practiced handing over the trust to them? They have the intuition, and it is our job to cultivate an environment to allow them to explore without interfering. What thoughts or fears are coming up for you? And this post has about 100 comments on it of people saying things. And we've actually had clients like reflecting in session with our team of providers as well, of just like, I'm not even a parent. And this post really resonated with me because it made me reflect on my childhood. And like, I didn't have that type of parenting. Like, I had an almond mom who was policing my food intake, or I had someone who wouldn't even let me get donuts. Like, donuts weren't allowed in our house. And then of course there are parents that commented on it, and it's really interesting. If you go read the comments, I'm not going to read through all of them, but it was just really, really cool to see how people receive this message. So I want to give a little more context, because I think that's the beauty of a podcast, is we can have long form content here. And I like want to say more what was going through my head. So when I had the response, like when my daughter asked for the second donut, to give more context, she already had a full breakfast. So before we went to Dunkin' that morning, I think she had eggs, maybe some bacon, a few bites of a pancake or toast or some type of carbohydrate food. She definitely had some orange juice. So we had breakfast, and then we're like, you know what? Fuck it. It's February. Let's go to Dunkin', because we got to get those brownie batter donuts before they're gone. If you know, you know. This is not a Dunkin' ad, but it damn well should be. So my daughter loves donuts. So we go through the line. She eats one in the car. She like loves to get it as soon as, you know, get it in her hands as soon as we get it. She eats the donut. We get home. We go to play in her room. She wants to put her Tony box on. She wants to put a princess dress on. She's swirling and twirling and dancing and singing. And she looks up at me and she goes, Mama, I want another donut. And again, like the twinge in me that said, I know she doesn't need this, wasn't coming from the place of like, that's too much sugar, or she shouldn't be eating that much sugar. Which if you are thinking that way, if you're like, that would have been my first thought, there's nothing wrong with you. Don't judge or guilt or shame yourself for that. It's being able to hear your thoughts and recognize that they're coming from somewhere. So who created that thought, right? Like if your first reaction is like, they shouldn't be having that much sugar, were you parented by someone who policed your sugar intake, right? And I really, like I knew just based on the amount that she ate that I was like, she doesn't want this donut. But we're also in this stage with a toddler where, and if any of you have a toddler, you know, when you say no, it can be the end of the world. And you have to choose your battles, where there's some times where I'm like, I don't care if I give her this or say yes, because she's probably going to forget about it. She's probably going to whatever. And we're going to be able to move on without a meltdown. And that was kind of where I was coming from, is like, I knew she didn't want the donut. I just had this like feeling in me, but I was like, but who cares? Who cares? And if I say no, she's probably going to fucking melt down. So that's why I said yes. And then as I reflected back, that's when I had this like epiphany of what that did for her in the moment of the autonomy of her food choices. So really, I was saying yes because I was trying to avoid a meltdown, not because I was this perfect intuitive eating mother that just knew that she was going to have a nibble and put it down. Because like I said in the post, if she would have wolfed down this donut and asked for another one or whatever, that doesn't mean that would have been a failure or like a bad thing. It would have just allowed me to be like, oh, okay, let's do some self-reflection of why did you think she didn't want a second donut? You thought maybe she doesn't know her limits here from like regulating her fullness. Maybe she would have said her belly hurt. Maybe she wouldn't have. Like, we don't know, right? We don't know the gravity of that situation. But the fact that she took a mouse nibble, put it aside, we're dancing, we're singing, etc., that is what made me realize, like, holy shit. I was saying yes, giving her the donut because I wanted to avoid a meltdown. But what I did is I allowed her to look at the donut, take a bite, and then she was able, like, as a 2.5-year-old, does she have the verbiage to tell me how her tummy feels? The experts say no, but I will say this. This is where my head goes as an intuitive eating counselor and just a mother with intuition. My 2.5-year-old is extremely verbal. Like the way she's, that's just, you know, every kid is different. I'm not trying to brag like at all because she was a late walker, right? So physically she didn't walk till 15 months, but she's yapping like a 4-year-old. So I know she can conversate a lot for her age. And I think about like, okay, she's fully potty trained. We weren't trying to potty train her. Honestly, I was lazy and I didn't want to potty train her because I just didn't want to deal with it. And because I'm a first time parent and I was like afraid of it. First time parent to a toddler, right? So I was like, I don't know how to do this. But she started telling us, right? After she would go pee or poop in her pull up or diaper, she would tell us. And then she started telling us while she was doing it. So then we're like, well, if she could just tell us before, she can go on the potty. And so she kind of potty trained herself. Like I hear these like horror stories. I waited as long as possible. I didn't try to do it early. Like I wanted her to tell me, right? And so I think about when I talk to adults about hunger, hunger is a compensatory response. Your body knows what hunger feels like, but diet culture conditions us to push through it, right? To not listen to your hunger, have more willpower, have more discipline. And you push it and you push it and you push it off until later that night, you get in front of food and you're like, holy fuck, I'm hungry, and you feel out of control. And I heard Evelyn Trolley on a podcast, she equated this, right, to an adult herself. She loves surfing. So for those of you who don't know Evelyn Tribbley, she's the co-founder of Intuitive Eating. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I got that certification under Evelyn Tribbley. So she used the example of breathing, of like when she's surfing and she goes underwater and holds her breath and she comes out from under the wave and she's people don't look at her and are like, oh my God, you're binge breathing. She's breathing. It's her body knowing like I need a lot of breath. Right? I need a lot of air. That's why I'm taking a lot of these big breaths. And the same goes for eating. If you're pushing hunger and then you get in front of food and you're fucking hungry, that's why, right? That's, and so then if we take the analogy of breathing and then we put it into peeing, if you have to pee, you don't question it. You go pee and you carry on living your life. And if you would try to push it and push it and push it, you would pee yourself. And I think about my toddler, she is able to listen to her body and go pee and go poop. And so I don't try to look into it too much because I do think that like researching some things can take you away from your intuition. And I know that to be true for myself because I had extreme postpartum anxiety with my first when she was a baby. So when it comes to hunger, fullness, all of this stuff, people say like, well, she's too young for that conversation of how her belly feels and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I've seen that. And I'm like, well, is she? Because homegirl knows how to go pee. Homegirl knows how to go poop. I've seen her intuitively eat. I've seen her tell me when she's done. So like, why can't we equate that to sensations in the body? So I'm not trying to like, because there's obviously like intuitive eating pediatric professionals in my field. I'm not dismissing anyone. All I'm saying is as a parent, we have the ability to create an environment where we give children the autonomy to choose in certain situations. Let me put huge disclaimer on this. You are the parent. You create the structure around food. You bring the food into the home. You shop for the food. You decide when they get access to the food. And that's where, like, especially with my post, like I put a whole slide on, like, this is not about saying yes to your child. If I would have said no, I didn't in that situation. So we don't know what would have happened, right? We can play the what if game. Maybe she would have said okay and kept dancing. And then like, I wouldn't have had this story. I wouldn't have equated it to intuitive eating. Like I just would have been like, oh, I knew best. And I said no. And she was fine with one donut and we moved on. And that's something I want to, like, I remember being hesitant to share this post, and I'm always hesitant to share these things about like centering myself in a story like this, because I never want people to think like I'm telling you like I'm doing everything right and here's how you raise an intuitive eater. Because first of all, no one knows what the fuck they're doing. And secondly, you're not going to fuck up your kid from one thing. Like, I can't stress that enough. I have parents that are riddled with guilt and shame in the comment section in my DMs, clients that we work with and we support that are like, I told my kid this, and like, bah! And it's like, I get it. You want a better life for your child. Give yourself credit for that. Like, every parent I've spoken to genuinely wants the best for their child, wants a positive relationship with food and body for their child, like doesn't want them to struggle with the diet culture shit they struggled with. Give yourself credit for that. You now know better, so you can do better. It serves nobody, not your child, and definitely not you, if you're holding on to guilt or shame for something you did or said to your child. You move forward and now you do better. And like, if you, let's, I don't know, if you have kids that are much older than my daughter, she's 2.5, right? And I have a 10-month-old. If you have kids that are, you know, middle school, teens, and you look back at how you spoke about food or your body or whatever it is, and you're like, fuck, like, what if I fuck them up? First of all parents are fucking their children up. I want, like, to be so clear with this. Like, but the difference is, the huge difference is, you are sitting here listening to this and saying, I think I fucked my kid up and I want to make it right. I think I fucked my kid up and I want to do better. I think I fucked my kid up and I hope that my kid feels safe enough to come to me and tell me how I can do better. That is a massive difference. And as I continue to share on my page of experiences with my children and intuitive eating and food and all of these things, like, I'm not only going to share this kind of donut story because I think that's great and I'm happy that people found it helpful, but I'm also going to keep an eye out for the moments that I can look back at situations and say, oof, next time I would have done this differently, because that's what intuitive eating is. It's not about getting it right. It's not about doing everything perfectly. It's about looking at every eating experience as exactly that, an eating experience, and learning from it and growing from it. And if there is something that you say, hey, I would do this differently next time, not guilting and shaming yourself about it, and just being that neutral observer and saying, okay, well, here's something I would do differently next time. So I hope you found this helpful. I have a few other stories that I have like in my notes section, because I struggle with content. I feel like I'm like, I've said everything I need to say on the internet. And it's like, no, you have new people coming in all the time. Like, it's important to say things. But I have a notes section where I'm starting to keep stories like this, that at the end of the day, once my kiddos are in bed and I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, wow, like, this was a really cool story. And if you go to like last week's podcast, the one right before this, I talk about my daughter commenting on my belly and telling me I have a big belly and like how that, you know, can trigger so much inside of you and all of the things. So I think one thing that's beautiful about our children that I think we can all agree on, it's like beautiful and horrible all at the same time, is they teach us the lessons that we need to be taught, right? Like they hold a mirror up to us. We can't run away from it. Like it's right there in our face, and they teach us and they help us learn and they help us grow. And we get the opportunity to reparent our inner child when we parent, which is really, really cool too. So I hope you found this helpful, and I hope that you walk away from this conversation knowing you're not supposed to have all the answers. Like, that's the answer to parenting and the relationship with food. And the most important thing, if you don't remember anything from this podcast and you're a parent and you're saying, I want my child to have a better relationship with food and body, what do I do? If you don't remember anything from this podcast, you can forget everything else I just said. The most important or most impactful thing you can do is work on your own relationship with food, your own relationship with body. That will pour over into others that are closest to you, aka your children, if you have them. If you don't have children, your partners, your friends, your colleagues. Like, when we work on our own relationship with food and body, then we do not project onto others, because that's really what everyone is doing, walking around and projecting. You've heard me say, I often say this mantra during like the holiday season, when you know you're going to be around loved ones, I always say, other people's thoughts and opinions about your food choices and your body have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. And that stands true for ourselves. If you are running around commenting on people's food choices and bodies, right? Or you're not working on your own relationship with food and body, you are going to naturally project onto others. That's what we do as humans. So if you want to make a huge impact on those closest to you, work on your own relationship with food and body. Start there. Start there. And if you're like, how the hell do I do that? Well, I'm really happy you're here, because at Fine Food Freedom, we are a virtual private practice made up of 14 plus registered dietitians, certified intuitive eating counselors. We are licensed in 22 states. We take insurance, Cigna, Aetna, United, BCBS. We would love the opportunity to work with you. The majority of people that check their insurance benefits with our team have no idea that they have these benefits. And I also think when people think insurance, registered dietitian, you think of a classically trained dietitian in diet culture, which I used to be one of them. I talk about this all the time. And I think that people are like, oh, well, if I work with a dietitian with insurance, they're just going to tell me how many calories. And no, like if you follow our social, if you look at our pages, if you listen to the podcast, like you can work with our team of weight inclusive providers. They can help you make peace with food and body. They can walk you through the intuitive eating principles. They can walk you through your obstacles and your struggles. So please, please accept this invite to get your benefits checked. We do the benefit check for you. You can click the link in the show notes below. You can go to Instagram. You can go to TikTok. Check your insurance benefits. If you are approved on the spot, like if you put in your state and you put in your insurance plan, and we know, because the checker is like really smart, if we know we accept your insurance, you're able to book with a provider immediately. If we need a little more info, we'll get that info from you. It'll take a few days, and then we will email you, hey, here's what we found. So our team does the check for you. You just put in your info and we let you know what benefits you have, because insurance is fucking confusing. So let us help you. I hate calling insurance companies. It's the worst. Anyways, that's the end of my ramble today. I'm grateful for you. I'm so, so grateful for you. And I'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.